Yesterday we read through this koan from the collection called Hekigan Roku. And the introduction was about this picture about the enlightened man and also someone who is not quite so. The enlightened man enjoys perfect freedom in active life. He is like a dragon supported by deep waters, or like a tiger which commands its mountain retreat. And then again, if we are not like such, we are drifting about in the affairs of the world. We are like a ram which gets its horns caught in a fence. Or like a man who waits for a rabbit to run against a tree stump and stun itself. So who doesn't want to be enlightened man? Sometimes they say that be aware, be careful what you wish it might happen. Sometimes people does not want to be an enlightened man. It sounds kind of scary. Perhaps I will change. I'm not anymore like I am now. Because I enjoy the way I am. I just want to be as I am. A bit selfish and a bit this and a bit that and not thinking too much others and I believe we all are like that. When times goes smoothly, when life is running smoothly, we are quite happy. It's like those six worlds in the picture we in the multifunction room, our brown floor room. I've noticed that I and many other we quite often stop there and look at the picture. Not necessarily now in Sesshin, but also. But other times as well. And when we have visitors here, they are really drawn into this picture often. Perhaps because it's well made, it's beautifully painted. It's kind of a real deal, and maybe we see that also. It's an artwork, piece of art. Made someone in Nepal, I guess. But here we have those six worlds. It doesn't say the world of enlightened. Actually, it's almost like all those six worlds are for someone who is not quite so. Even though they are wonderful places like the realm of gods. And what's wrong is in the world of animals. They even suggest, I guess, that, I will suggest, if no one else, that if you are the enlightened one, all those six realms are your home. Like the Yiso Sama, this Bodhisattva standing, the stone bodhisattva standing in front of this picture or below, is one who is willing to go and help out someone who is stuck in the hell or somewhere else. That's a real superhero. Sometimes, I mean, when I was younger, or, you know, sometimes we are kind of admiring people who does some kind of heroic actions. I mean, still, of course. But maybe it differs what is today than what is decades ago or so. But it can be anything, and it can be, of course, some comic book hero as well, or movie hero. But then if we look how much it asks to become a hero, it's a lot of work. I mean, you can be a hero spontaneously. You can just throw your life and save someone else's. But if you are building yourself up as a hero, you are on a hero track. It probably needs a lot of work. So like a bodhisattva. I would like to think that bodhisattva is someone who has went through a lot of training, schooling oneself, irons after irons. In that sense, you just don't become superhero without practicing. Even soldiers, I sometimes think, although of course war is terrible and we don't want those things to be in the world, and unfortunately that's the case. We have wars. But still, you think sometimes people in the war zone, with guns or without guns, but doing something extremely heroic, like really forgetting themselves and going there to help someone they don't even know. So that's rare. I mean, but again, wouldn't it be wonderful to kind of feel so strong connection with something that you easily, without even a blinking of an eye, you would give your life in order to support, to protect. That feeling, that sense of, I would go, no problem, I will be there, I'll go. The feeling of not having this self that we are grasping so dearly, not having it in, at least not in that sense. Of course we have it, and we are willing to give it, if needed, for service. Sounds like some... I mean, that kind of feeling makes us superheroes, because we are not clinging to ourselves, our small life. We are ready to open up, even the cost of losing our lives. This Dharma practice is not so far from that. Actually, you are listed. We are now in this superhero school. When we wash dishes, we just wash dishes. That's what superhero does. Saving one thing at a time. Whether it's this one breath, you are just that. And that, doing that, you are saving the whole world. Because the world will be anew, it will born anew. You make it happen. No one else, but you can. Only you can make the big thing happen, the world opening up. But it's already open. So how can I do it? How can I make it open again? It's already open. You already opened it. Yes, we are a bit stuck with, as it says, ignorance. Stuck with those assumptions. In the picture that I just mentioned, where we have those six worlds, in the middle there, we know there is this pig, the animal, rooster, and a snake. There are different versions. In some cases, it looks like when we have a repentance ceremony. Now I can't exactly remember how it is there, but it looks almost like they are biting each other's tails or something like that. Or maybe it's so that the pig is, they are coming out from the pig's mouth. That's also one version. Pig is representing ignorance, delusion. So those two others are actually stemming from its mouth. Of course, if we are lost, if we don't know where we are standing, if we don't know our essence, who knows what happens? Sometimes something positive, sometimes something negative, something neutral. It's just you never know, because we don't know. But if we are more aware of what's going on, if we really have had a chance to touch the essence, to touch the unlimited here and now, to see with the eyes of someone who doesn't judge, then we probably will make less suffering where we walk, where we are. So that's that. We simply will suffer less, as well as people around, because we are not causing random, we are not shooting around randomly. And I'm 100% sure that life like that is much more enjoyable. Although it might sound like a little bit like thinking good, not doing bad, it sounds like there are some rules. But I believe those rules are made only for us who doesn't really understand. But if we really do understand, we are the life, without rules. Because we don't act against. If we are at home, who wants to destroy one's home voluntarily? Okay, let's see what else here we have. The enlightened man's words are sometimes like a lion crouched to spring, sometimes like the diamond king's treasure sword. Sometimes their effect is to shut the mouths of the world-famed ones. Sometimes it is as they simply follow the waves coming one after another. Probably there is some kind of surprising element with those kind of beings. World-famed ones will be surprised. World-famed one is not necessarily world-famous one that we know. It's just this ego who thinks that he is the center of the universe. Falsely so believes in his little fantasy world. He is world-famed one. But sometimes, if we are lucky, we might meet someone who is not stuck there and could just be present in a different manner and can show us that you are here, nowhere else. Come out from your fantasy world. So in this Koan case, there was really this summer Ango training season period. And Suigan spoke to those fellow practitioners. All summer long I've been talking to you, brothers. Look and see if my eyebrows are still there. This sounds that he is kind of asking, how did I do? All summer I've been doing this, and can you give a review? And it's kind of, I remember when I read this first time, so before I have worked it with the teacher, it felt that why he's asking. You know, if you are a clear-minded person, why would you ask someone? You just do your deeds and you don't look back too much. Not asking around, was it good or not? I don't mean that this is the case, but that's how I saw it. But then again, that would be very human also. We want to know, how did we do? Maybe it's not necessarily ask, but that's how we are. We have those tendencies, those habits, those long-lasted feelings of being good or bad. And we need to get some input so we know who we are. Although all that is unnecessary also. Mm. Also, this that he's been giving those talks, like I can't even imagine how many talks, if it's a, let's say 3 months, probably quite a few. And it's not necessarily easy tasks. And of course, we get sometimes different challenges from the practice, like different tasks. We are asked to do something, or we are willing to do something, and then we find ourselves there in the midst of challenges. And of course, this is why we do these things also. That's, in my mind, also why we have a form. Why we have this practice is shaped in a certain way. Because the form is something that we hit ourselves against. I mean, we have this voice in our heads that is commenting. There I saw they did different, it was better there, or it was worse, this is better here, or this is unnecessary. We don't need these things like this, because what I'm looking for is just being open, being here and now. I don't need these strange details here and there, rules even. So we have them for different reasons. And I think one is that when we are charged, when we have to do something with the form, when we are in responsible for doing something within the form, we have to shape up. We have to be more at here and now. We have to be alert. We have to be focused more. We have to let go what is my opinion. It might seem from the outside, I'm just thinking some ceremonies maybe, that you walk like this, then you bow like this, then you turn around and you bow like this, you do like this. If you think it as a dance, it's maybe quite boring, or some kind of a piece of a theater. Maybe that's not what you want to see, or maybe you like it. But the one who is walking there and doing those things, that person must really follow the, how you say, because otherwise you will forget what you are doing, you will do something funny. Also, having a, duty like some kind of leadership role, small or bigger, it doesn't matter. But all those things are really challenging, of course. And that's why they are so good. Then we see where is our practice through the lenses of the responsible one. And it's always, there are so many possibilities to mess it up in a very small scale, hopefully, but anyways. So he, this Suikan, having his time to deliver those talks, I think it was a challenge for him. Because he's not probably yet, I mean, those, if I remember at all correctly, those other people who are commenting, giving their answers, are kind of colleagues, not colleagues, but like he said, brother monks. They are all kind of advanced in their practices. And now it was Suikan's turn And maybe they are just giving a little bit to go around and giving some feedback. And Hofuku says, the thief has guilty conscience. Ah, that is of course koan. So we have to work with those sentences, but we can also talk like in general what comes to mind. So first of all, the question was, look and see if my eyebrows are still there. And this we don't know, if we don't know what does that mean. And luckily at some point when you are working with this koan, I think someone will tell you, no, I mean teacher probably, what is it about? And it comes from China. It's an old, it's a metaphor. You know, you are losing your eyebrows. If you are, was it something like lying, or you know, you are not really honest. You are not genuine. Or you are somehow. But you know, how can they fall like a? So it is a, it's a beautiful picture in a way, because I've noticed it now, because I'm sitting a little bit higher here on the table. So I'm a little bit above. And if I'm looking down, they might fall away. Metaphorically speaking. So there is always the risk when we have a position like sitting a bit higher, that we start to look upon people, we start to look from above, we start to think, now I have achieved something, now I'm special. So this is also excellent practice to get to sit on the table like this, for example, and see what happens. Am I thinking that I am special now? I mean, we have different people have different kind of traps that we can step in. So, a thief has a guilty conscience. I remember always, not always, but like if you, that's also saying that if you have done something, you will come back to crime scene. You will come and see if they find any evidences against you, or you know, you're not sure if someone saw what you did. One of my first encounters with Santa Rossi, kind of my main teacher here, my first session with him, it was interesting, because I in Dokshan, I really seriously, I saw him as a devil, and which he probably is. But there was this someone sitting in front of me who was making my session very difficult, who didn't understand me the way I was wanting or hoping. Not really. I actually knew what was going on, but anyway, there was this interesting sense of someone really being not necessarily like, how can I say, I won't say that he was really a thief or anything like such, but he wasn't kind of a holy man either. So it felt was that was really, and actually I saw kind of devil face when I looked him. Several times, and it was very good Dokshan also and Sessin, so it was okay. But it was interesting that I kind of could narrow down, like there was only one troublemaker, and it was not me, but it was him. And it was kind of interesting, because otherwise the whole cosmos was wonderful, except this one person that I had to see in Doksan. And of course, as you know probably, there are those that thief, saying that someone is thief is of course can be also sort of a positive thing. If it's a good thief, like a Robin Hood. And then the other brother says, they have grown. You know, it doesn't tell actually, are they growing on his forehead, or are they growing from the ground now? Because if they have fallen, so suddenly those bushes are coming from the ground. So what does that mean, if that's the case? Or did they fall away and now they are growing back? Takes a long time. That's also what happens. We do things and we will lose our eyebrows, metaphorically. And then little by little they come back. So we learn from our... we truly learn from our so-called mistakes. Mistakes are really important. Some of those mistakes are not real. Perhaps most of them are not real, meaning that it's only me who thinks that I did something wrong, or I was bad, I wasn't this or that. And that's good if we face those things, like in Sasen, those things might pop up. Sudden memories here and there. I did like that, I should not. Regrets. And sometimes we do like a so-called real mistakes, which oftentimes are not also that bad. They might feel so, but just life. Everybody does. Who does? Who is the one who commits those mistakes? Who is the one that suffers because of them? What does it mean to forgive oneself? Who is forgiving? Who is being forgiven? What does that even mean? Opening our hands is forgiveness, not grasping is forgiveness. It doesn't matter if it's a big thing or small thing or neutral or positive, we just don't grasp. When we grasp, we kind of, then we are committing mistake. Because in real reality, we really can't grasp things. That's the easy way to produce some suffering. Very easy. And then, at the very end, Umon says, "Kan," which is translated as barrier. Mu Mong Kan. You know this koan collection. There we have this Kan. Mu, meaning no, Mon, gate and kan is barrier. There's no gate really, but barrier only. It's a beautiful name for the koan collection. Wumon Kan. And as I see it, sometimes like if I see as a theater stage and there is this props, I don't know if that's what they are in English, but you can see there is this gate, which is not really gate, but it's kind of a, some kind of beam of wood. It's placed there in the middle. And still you get stuck. You could go around, you could jump over almost, you could go below, but for some reason we get stuck with this strange barrier. Who is the barrier, by the way, at the end? Who is the one that really binds us, as we can ask? Who binds us so that we can't move freely or be freely what we are? Why we have to check all the time? Why we have to look back if someone is behind our backs doing something? Why we are so suspicious? This is wonderful practice indeed. This is the teacher for us. So that we really, in this body, we can really, no doubts, it's authentic. This moment is authentic. This is not acted out. This is not the second take. This is the original one. And we can really feel how it feels. We can breathe in this moment, be it, and investigate, are we really free or not? And what is it that binds us? Okay. May all beings attain the Buddha way.